So friends, this chapter 60 particularly deals with a little bit complex type of understanding transaction where any notice from the court when bank is receiving to attach the funds held in the customer's account. Okay, attachment orders. Court order and other attachments order. There is nothing wrong in receiving such kind of orders by the banks, because something somewhere went wrong with the customers. Their dues to the government have not been paid. There, as per the settlement of the court, if any payment is not made by the customer of your bank to the court or to any other authorities, under such situation, notices are received. It may be from the court or it may be from the regulatory or law enforcing authorities. So this topic basically covers these notices and orders, which is covered under garnishee order and attachment orders. We are not going much deep into the part of this garnishee and attachment orders, pros and cons and everything. Just basic understanding how we as a banker should act, and thoroughly understanding the content of the orders, then applying mine and whether it is to be required to be attached or not. This is the basic funda that we have to understand in this topic. For understanding this, I have taken into consideration, first, for better understanding, how garnishee order is defined and what is a garnishee order, how it works and what are the features of the garnishee order, then other attachment orders, and these attachment orders are compared with the garnishee order so as to determine what is the difference between them. And after all, finally, it is the banker's responsibility and banker's duty what to do when such kind of garnishee order and attachments are received by the banks. Garnishee order, the name is little bit funny, something different, I mean, not regularly used in any forum, right? Just garni. Garni means what? It is a French word. It is a French word. Why in Indian scenario French word is used? That is a $1 million question. But it is accepted by the court in India. Therefore, they are using this word garni. And then who is garnishee? Who is a garnisher? That we will see also. But basically, to understand this garnishee order, this is an order always issued by the court. This order is issued by the court under the provision of Civil Procedure Code 1908. Civil Procedure Code, that is CPC, Order 21, Rule 46. Under this order is issued. When this order is issued, concept. Concept is introduced in the Civil Procedure Code by the amendment in 1976. And it is a remarkable piece of legislation. This term is derived from the French word garni, garnir, which means to warn or to prepare. Garnir means to warn or prepare. We cannot say that warning order or preparation order. That is why this word is used as a garnishee order. Right? under Section 31 of Negotiable Instrument Act, the obligation to honor the check of the customer if everything is in order. However, Section 31 is not applicable when the garnish order is attachment order and that is received by the bank. If the check is presented in the clearing and if there is a sufficient balance, payment can be made, check can be honored under Negotiable Instrument Act. Same Negotiable Instrument Act, since payment has to be made, and if this is the court order, can you make the payment? No, because for garnish order, Section 31 of Negotiable Instrument Act is not at all applicable. Then what is garnish order? This garnish order is an order which is passed by the court directing the ordering a garnishee not to pay money to the judgment debtor since the latter is indebted to the garnisher, that is decree holder. Okay. Therefore, the garnishee order is a court order instructing the garnishee. Garnishee means the bank. Garnishee means the bank. That the fund held on behalf of the debtor, that is judgment debtor, account holder, should not be released until the court is ordered. In short, these are the legal terms. In short, garnish order means an instruction to the bank not to release the fund of the account holder who is maintaining account with you and balance in the account and not to make the payment of that. So hold those funds. That is the garnish order. Right? The order may be instructing the bank to pay a given sum of the judgment creditor, that is the person to whom the debt is owed to the judgment debtors. That means account holder who wants to make the payment to third person, but he is not paying. So that person goes to the court, brings the order instructing bank, hold those funds and make payment me as per the court order. That is garnish order. So, it is an order of the court, attach the money of the goods or the goods which belongs to the judgment debtor in the hands of the third person. It is a remedy which is available to any judgment creditor. The person who is to receive the funds from another person, that person can go to the court and bring the order which is called as a garnish order. Very simple to understand, but legal term is difficult to understand, right? So, garnishee means the judgment debtor's debtor. Judgment debtor's debtor. Judgment debtor is a who? The account holder, right? And judgment debtor's debtors means whose money? The customer's money. With whom? It is a bank. That is garnish, right? He is a person or institution that is indebted to another person whose property has been subject to garnishment. So he is a person who is liable to pay a debt to a judgment debtor or to deliver any movable property to him. A third person or a party, a third person or a party in whose hands the money is attached by the process of the court, so-called, because he had a garnishment or the warning not to pay the money. It is a warning to the bank because debtor is holding account with you and in that there is a money. So it is a warning by the court to the bank not to pay this money to the defendant, but to appear and answer to the plaintiff creditor suit. Creditor suit means the ultimate person who is owing the money from the judgment debtor. So he has to inform, answer. Bank has to answer. So garnisher is a judgment creditor, that is a decree holder, who initiate the garnishment action to reach the debtor's property that is thought to be held or owed by the third party. There are two types of orders. Garnishee order is of two types. One is order nishi. What is this order nishi means? If the garnishee order is issued, then on receipt of the order, bank is bound to stop the operation of the account. And bank must immediately inform to the customer about the receipt of this order. That is order nishi. Order nishi means bank has to accept and close the operation. Should not allow customer to operate that account. That is order nishi. And order absolute, that is another type of order. Order absolute means after the receipt of the explanation of the bank under order nishi, bank has explained, no. So after receipt of the explanation of the bank, court may issue an order absolute. On receipt of this order absolute, bank has to pay the amount to the court, not to third party, to the court. Now, amount of garnish order. You understood what is order nishi and order absolute. First part is order nishi. Order received, block the operations, inform to the court. Once you have informed the court, then another order may come. That is called order absolute. In that, the court is directing bank to make the payment to them. That is court, not to the third party. That is order absolute. So these are two types of garnish orders. Now, amount of garnish order. Many times, garnish order usually does not mention the amount. And in case no amount is mentioned, the entire balance should be attached. Now, how this garnish order works? Default judgment is usually obtained by a creditor, that is ultimate person who is expecting to get the money from the debtor. Either when the debt has gone unpaid, you have not been able to come to any agreement with the creditor about repaying the debt, or other alternative debt collection avenues have been exhausted. That means he tired in pursuing negotiation with the debtor, but he is not listening. So he has the only way to approach the court and bring the order. Right? So if the garnish order is made against you, then your bank, that is financial institution or employer, will likely to be notified rather than you. That is warning. Do not pay if you are employer. It is not necessary that order is always issued to the bank. It can be issued to your employer also. Don't pay him the salary. Freeze the salary. Anything. Or any other financial institution also where you are likely to receive and you have not paid to some other entity. And that entity has gone to the court and brought the order so as to stop operations. That is for employer also. They bring the order. So, This is very important order. The payment made by the garnishee into the court pursuant to this notice shall be treated as a valid discharge to him as against the judgment debtor. Once you make the payment, that bank makes to payment or employer as the employer made to payment, which is receivable by you, and then it will be valid discharge. The other person who has brought the decree on you or who has order against you, that person will say, now you have paid, I am satisfied. What time he will take it from the court and all this, that is not your lookout or headache. The court may direct that such an amount that may be paid to the decree holder towards the satisfaction of the decree and cost of the execution. So this is how exactly the garnish order works. The bank, now features, characteristic features of the garnish order. The bank upon whom the order is served is called as a garnishee. The depositor who owes the money to another person is called as a judgment debtor. And the features of the garnish order are as under. One, that garnish order applies to the existing debts, as also the debts accruing or due in savings bank, certificate of deposit, RD, FD accounts, etc. This garnish order applies only to those accounts of the judgment debtor which have a credit balance. The relationship between the bank and the judgment debtor is of the debtor and the creditor. Bank is the debtor of the judgment and the debtor who is the creditor to the creditor of the bank. Garnish order does not apply to money which is deposited subsequent to receipt of the garnish order. So, the garnish order is not applying the funds which are deposited after the receipt of the garnish order. It does not apply to the check sent for the collection but yet to be realized or yet to be cleared. But if the credit was allowed in the account before realization with the power to withdraw the customer, the garnish order will be applicable to this account also. That means purchase of the check and credit to the account. In between, garnish order came and there is a balance at that particular point of time. This discounted portion, this can be attached. Therefore, before its application of the order, it has to be ensured that whether the funds are belongs to the customer only or any credit facility is made available and those funds are there. Under such situation, only clear funds which are generated or originated and belongs to the account holder can only be attached. This garnish order also does not apply to the unrealized portion. Suppose check is sent for the collection and it is not yet realized. Overdraft, cash credit, the judgment debtor, the garnish order is not applicable to it. For example, a limit of rupees 4 crore and outstanding debt is 3 crores. Garnish order is not applicable on the balance of rupees 1 crore. So bank can exercise the right of set off before applying the garnish order. What is right of set off? Right of set off means any loan given by the bank to the account holder or judgment debtor, that loan cannot be attached. And bank can recover it first, and whatever balance is left out, that much portion of the amount will be attached. Okay? Now, the bank can exercise the right of set-off before the garnish order, and garnish order is applicable only if both debts are the same right and the same capacity. This garnish order issued in a single name, and it does not apply to the account in the joint name of the judgment debtor with another person. Suppose garnish order is issued in your name, and you have the joint account with your wife. That order cannot be applied to the joint account. But if the garnish order is issued in the joint names, it will apply to the individual accounts also. When garnish order is in the name of the partner, it will not apply to the partnership firm or partnership account. But when garnish order is in the name of the firm or partnership account, then individual partner's account also can be attached. So these are some of the technical points that you need to understand in the garnish order. Further, if the amount is not specified in the order, then it will be applicable on whatever balance is available in the account. But if for a specific amount order is issued, the check can be paid from the balances available after setting aside, lien marking or setting aside the amount which is mentioned in the garnish amount, garnish order. Therefore, it is not applicable, this garnish order is also not applicable on the fixed deposit taken as a security for some loan. Security, if you are taking as a banker for issuance of whatever it may be, guarantee or cash credit or whatever it may be, that security is the property of the bank against which they have granted the loan. That cannot be attached. And if loan is given, if the loan is given against the fixed deposit, applicable on the amount after adjusting the loan. You recover your loan, any balance is left out, then that amount can be attached. Where neither the garnishee makes an payment into the court as order, nor it appears and shows any cause in the answer to the notice, court may order the garnishee to comply with such a notice if such an order were decree against him. The cost of the garnishee proceedings are at the discretion of the court, and orders passed in the garnishee proceedings are appealable as decrees. Bank will come into the trouble. That is why it has to invariably, when garnish order is received, as a part of garnish nishi, you have to inform to the court. If you are not informing the court, then you yourself become a party to the garnish order. That is why be serious whenever such a notices are received by you. Right? Now, after understanding this garnish order issue, let us understand the attachment order, other attachment orders. Income tax authorities under section 226(3) of Income Tax Act 1961 can also issue the attachment orders. And this order is in the name of the bank. On receipt of this order, banker is required to remit the desired amount to the income tax authorities. In garnish order, it never happens. Unless and until court asks for, it will be deposited with the court. here attachment order, court attachment, here income tax attachment order, directly funds are going to the income tax. Then attachment order without mentioning the amount is not a valid order. Amount in, if there is no amount mentioned in the attachment order, what is to be attached? Account? No. It is not considered as a valid order. It has to mention what is the amount due from the account holder in case of attachment order. That is not the case in case of garnish order. So the attachment order is a different form the garnish order in some of the aspects. The attachment order applies to the money which is deposited in the account after the receipt of order also till it is fully satisfied, whereas garnish order does not apply to the subsequent deposit. So whatever amount in future also you will deposit into that account, same will also be attached under attachment order. Garnish order, no. Attachment order in a single name applies to the joint name also, and that too in proportionately, unless contrary is proved, whereas the garnish order single name does not apply to the joint names. However, the right of setup is available to the bank before applying to the order. In case the banker failed to comply with the attachment order, it will be liable for the amount of the order and deemed as an assessees in the default. When both garnish order and attachment orders are received simultaneously, the priority should be given to the attachment order. Priority should be given to attachment order and not the garnish order. Some comparison chart I have provided here, the comparison of garnish order and attachment, which already I have explained to you. This is just for better understanding you in respect of who is issuing authority, under which act, then depositor is called as, bank is called as, issuer is, recovery amount applicable. So many things are there. So many things are there which I have already explained to you. Now please go through this. Please go through this, and that will give more clarity that what I have explained to you. Now, coming down to understand the exact banker's duty when this kind of orders are received. One is garnish order and second one is the other attachment orders. As soon as the garnish order is received, bank should first do the time stamping, that is apply the receipt stamp, put the date and time. That is very much required. After that, bank should immediately mark lien on the account of the customer for the amount which is mentioned in the order. If amount is not mentioned, full amount should be attached. This is in case of attachment orders and also in case of garnish order. Now, what are the stages of implementation of it? This garnish order is implemented in two stages. One is order nisi and order absolute. Correct? Order nisi, on receipt of this order, stop honoring any checks and inform to the customer immediately to avoid the dishonoring of these checks issued by him. And at this stage, bank recover its own dues first and subsequently inform to the court about the balances held in the order. In order absolute, after the bank clarifies its position, the court may issue an absolute order. This order attaches the amount of the judgment debtor deposited with the garnish bank. On receipt of this order, bank is required to remit the funds of the judgment debtors to the court. And in respect of the attachment order is issued by the government authorities for recovery of the government dues. This order can be issued under the various acts such as Income Tax Act, GST Act, Wealth Tax Act, as well as the Income Tax Authorities issued under Section 226, as I explained earlier, of Income Tax Act 1961. And it may be noted that the attachment order is also applicable to the amount received subsequent to the receipt of the order. Duty of the bank on receipt of this attachment order is, in addition to the marking lien on the account, customer should be informed and advised to make the payment to the government authorities. Then right of set off for the attachment order. On receipt of this order, bank is entitled to recover its own dues by exercising the right of set off where the amount is due and action is initiated. This attachment order immediately applies on the cash deposited and on clearing checks, and it will be applied when the clearing return time expires. Friends, with this garnish order and other attachment orders, I have explained for your benefit. Put it into the practice. You have understood what action is to be initiated as soon as the order is issued. First, understand what type of order is. Then you mark date stamp, put the time and everything, and thereafter, as I explained, you can continue to deal with that order. So friends, with this, I stop here. Thank you very much.